Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here, and welcome to New Life Live. Come join us at 1-800-229-3000. It's Focus Friday, and this Friday we're focusing on addiction.
I'm struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you, and we see that, but none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose this battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Focus Friday, and we're talking about addiction today with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hey, Dave.
How are you, Steve?
And Bill Moss. And Bill is our friend from out in the desert, and you were telling us that you were at a meeting, and you told some guys that you had been drinking for 65 years.
Oh, well, this was a men's stag meeting. It's one of the famous meetings in Beverly Hills. It's called the Roxbury Group.
Mm.
And so I was a guest, and when you're a guest, they call on you to speak. And it's like a speaker medium. There's a podium. So I got up, and I went up there, and I said, my name is Bill Moss. I'm alcoholic, and I've been drinking for 65 years. And it broke into applause.
There aren't a lot of people that are able to do it for 65 years. They're dead and gone by now.
I was talking with a young man who is in his 30s, and he's starting recovery, and he says, "So I wish I'd have waited till I was 50, because I could have drank for another 20 years." But he's glad, really, that he's doing it now, because he's got to get his life in order.
Hey, what do you say to somebody that says, well, you know, this word addiction, that's just kind of a cop-out. You know, what you've got there is sin. And just calling it an addiction, it prevents somebody from seeing their sin or talking about their sin. Well, how do you respond to that?
You know, the history of that goes back to when there was a medical doctor in England who first defined alcoholism as a disease. And the medical profession said, no. They didn't want to, because that meant they were responsible. And the church said, good, now we don't have to worry about it, because they didn't have an answer. If it's, I remember when I was a pastor years ago, a young pastor, and a young man came forward and gave his life to the Lord. He was alcoholic, and everybody thought everything would be great. And it was for a while, and then they disappeared. And I followed up on him, and he relapsed, obviously, because it wasn't just a sin.
Right.
It was a disease. And he got himself into AA and got back on track and didn't relapse again.
Yeah.
But that was a real education to me, because I was kind of brought up that way. Well, it's just a sin, you know. But it's a sin and it's a disease. It's both.
Well, I can add a little something to that.
Great.
Steve. You know, when I was when I reached my very, very bottom, I picked up the phone and called Betty Ford, who'd been a friend of mine for some time. And I said, Betty, I need some help. And she said, Bill, it's God's will, not your will.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allergic to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with David. It's a disease. And so there's a question as to how the disease fits with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can be a sin as to how you treat other people and how you hurt other people's lives.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's a mortal sin is something else.
Right.
Again.
Well,
but,
the problem, when it was just a sin, there was no cure. You'd put him in jail for the weekend and sober him up, and then they just go out and do it again. The thing that happened when it was defined as a disease, now there's something we can do about it.
Yeah. Well, also,
and that's when hope came. But there's still sinful behaviors that are that have to
well,
be
also,
with.
if
that's what the four steps are.
If it's only sin, then I ought to be good enough, become good enough to overcome it. But if it's something that's physical in my body, I can get well enough to live a life that God has called me to. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Bill Moss, Dr. Dave Stoop. I get the last word on sin and addiction, and it's just that I've never known an addict who didn't sin a lot, and it wasn't the cause, but it certainly was a result.
The result.
And I've never known a sinner who wasn't deeply addicted to his own personal favorite sin. Whatever it was, he was addicted to it. And it's important that we see both concepts. It's a both and most of the time, not an either or. Let's go over to Tony from Chicago, Illinois. Listens on WYLL. Hello, Tony. Welcome.
Hello. How are you this afternoon?
Great. How are you?
Great. Your operator asked me what my problem was. I said, I don't have a problem. I've been delivered from alcohol.
Well, that's great. Good.
Then I had a confession.
Okay.
My family continued praying for me. I was a stone alcoholic. Well, as an AA, we still say we are alcoholics, but even though I've been delivered, I still attend AA meetings, but I've been delivered from alcohol. I have had no desire for alcohol. I got delivered back in April, and it's just a completely new life.
It's wonderful.
I woke up in the morning with alcohol in my hand. I went to bed with it. I get up in the middle of the night to drink it, but I've completely been delivered. It's just a wonderful new life. It's hard to explain because I don't go to a Christian AA group.
Well, that's okay. Hey, you could clarify something for folks that need some clarification in this area. When you were delivered from the desire to drink, wouldn't you agree that you didn't instantly have maturity and character and great relationship skills, that all of that still needed to be developed over time?
Oh, absolutely. It's still being developed. I've only been sober, like I said, since April. I didn't get drunk. I didn't turn into an alcoholic overnight.
Yeah, right.
So all that healing takes a long process.
That's what recovery is all about.
Now, to me, I think you've got a really healthy attitude about this. I have known people. One guy, he woke up one morning. He'd been drinking about a fifth of vodka a day. And he woke up one morning, and when he shaved, he would fill the sink with water. And so he filled the sink with water so he could shave and, you know, dip his razor in the water and splash it around to clean it. And he looks down, he sees his image in the water in the sink basin, and immediately said to himself, I am an alcoholic. I must never drink again. And from that moment on, he never had a desire to drink again. It was a miraculous healing from the desire to drink. But just like we're hearing here, he wasn't instantly a wise person. He wasn't instantly a mature person who had character. And and you're really verifying that you still need a program like the 12 steps to lead
absolutely.
You.
Right, absolutely. The program, the 12 steps, it's a way of life. It's not just you go through your 12 steps and you're done. You learn to live the life. You learn to live that program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
There's a Christian based one out in Willow Creek, but I live in Chicago, and it's a long way for me to go. But he sends me information, and he has a his name is Robert, and he's out of Willow Creek. He runs an AA program there, and he has all the 12 steps, the traditional 12 steps, and then he backs them all up with 12 steps biblically.
Well, let me send you a Life Recovery Bible, and you talk about backing the 12 steps up biblically. We've got a whole Bible.
I have a Life Recovery Bible. My sister bought me one.
Well, good for her. All right. Well, I'll send you Walking into Walls, and I hope that that will help you. Before we finish with Tony, did you have a comment you want to make, Bill, about his recovery and being delivered from the desire?
Yeah, I'd like to know how long you were in AA before that happened.
Bill, the first time I went to AA, I was in my 30s, and I stayed sober for about a year, and I thought that I had it licked, so I started drinking again, but I got worse. I mean, way worse. But I'm sorry, I forgot what your question was.
How long were you? How long?
I'm so excited when I tell people I'm sober.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Well, it just sounds to me like that you got to the point where you completely surrendered. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
from the time after you completely surrendered, you've been sober since then.
And
right.
And complete surrender really is a supernatural act. I mean, I really believe it is when you can finally surrender everything, it brings in the supernatural power of God into your life. So, Tony, thank you for calling us. God bless you there. Keep up the good work.
Great job. You know what's so interesting about him, though, is that he didn't just figure he was done. He's doing the meetings. And we had a call last week where a lady said, you know, why should I do the meetings? I'm sober.
Why should I work the steps?
Why should I work the steps? Yeah. And it's because, I think you said it, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
And it teaches me, it's a wonderful teaching tool for how to live my life, whether I'm an addict, an alcoholic, sober, never had a problem, whatever it is, it's still profound in its simplicity and in its clarity for how to live life.
Let's talk to Bentley from Indian Wells, California, who listens online. Hello, Bentley.
Good afternoon. Glad to be on the show.
Well, thanks for joining us. How could we help you today?
I have a question for Bill Moss.
Okay.
I'm very respectful of the fact that he could put the drink down after 65 years, and that must be really enheartening for people that are still at it after a long period of time. And I wanted to ask him about, you know, how he does his prayer and meditation. He must have had maybe that supernatural experience you just mentioned when he surrendered. And what does he do to keep that up now?
What do you do? I guess you're looking for tips on the
step
11th
11.
Step.
Yeah.
Okay.
On prayer and meditation.
Okay.
Well, of course, it's the 11th step, and that's how I got involved into prayer and meditation. And I have written some prayers and meditations. One of them takes about 5 minutes. Another takes 20 minutes. And I have a group of guys that are in AA, and we get together every Monday afternoon, and we do prayer and meditation.
Mm.
And it's the tie that binds. It brings you together and holds you together, and it is prayer, and it is meditation, and it is discursive, as David mentioned a few minutes ago. I hope that answers his question.
Okay. So when you get with these other guys to pray and to meditate, are you all praying out loud at the same time, all meditating out loud, or is it quiet, or how does that work?
Someone in the group reads one of the prayer and meditations that I have written.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is any of that in this book, Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Time?
A short version of that is in that the prayer and meditation is in that book in a short version.
Great. Okay.
But does that answer your question, Bentley?
Yeah. It's been quite helpful.
The whole thing about meditating is I think the important part of meditating is to focus on something, not just to, you know, try to get to a place of nothingness, because that's not the goal in the 11th step, and I don't think that's the goal in Christian meditation, is that I want to focus on something. So if you're focusing on a passage of Scripture that's related to a step that you're working on that week, basically you read it over a couple times slowly, and then you ponder it and you focus on your breathing as you do this, and you take 5-10 minutes, and then you build up. How long do you typically meditate, Bill?
Well, in this particular group, we're together for an hour.
For an hour, okay.
And the meditation itself lasts probably 20-25 minutes.
You kind of build up to that over time, don't you?
We open at the opening line of this meditation has to do with relaxation and mm-hmm. taking a few breaths and letting the anxieties and fear drain out of your body. Get completely relaxed. Open your mind and your heart, your soul, to let God's love in. And then we put our faith and trust in a loving God. Mm-hmm. And then we begin the breathing exercises, the breathe in love, the breathe out anger, mm-hmm. breathe in peace, breathe out despair. Mm. And then we touch on such things as compassion and love and understanding and being non-judgmental. It's a wonderful thing to bring people together.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, what it does is it gets all this down deep inside our soul, you know, into the core of who we are. And if you we spent an hour with Jim Finley, who did a book on Christian meditation, and I was doing some writing, and I quoted him. He's saying, if we do our meditation kind of sporadically, we miss some of the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, if we do it consistently, we experience transformation.
Mm.
That's my paraphrase of it. And so there's something about the consistency of meditating 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day. On scripture, on the step, whatever. It's focusing on something spiritual.
Right.
Oh, I personally do prayer and meditation about an hour a day.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I thought you did.
Okay. I need to get to that point. I would be a different human being. People would like that. They'd like me better. I do believe. All right. Let's go to...
Might cure your ADD, though, and then
could.
It wouldn't be you.
It could, yeah. Let's talk with Barbara from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Hello, Barbara. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
I can't believe I made it. I've been on since last hour. I'm so excited.
Thanks for hanging on there, Barbara. We appreciate it.
Well, you are worth it.
Thank you. How could we help today?
Well, first of all, I would just... really want to encourage everybody to really think about just sending in some money. If everybody that listens to you would send in a dollar or two.
Take your time, Barbara. We've got plenty of time to hear this.
So it's worth, my goodness, a dollar to send in to you all for everybody that listens to you all. So I just want everybody to really think about it and listen to God talk to their hearts.
Okay.
Because I don't want you all to go off any station because there's so many people that need help now.
Well, thank you. Now, how could we help you?
Okay. Well, I'm disabled. And my doctor wants me to have a caretaker 24 hours a day. I have a caretaker 24 hours a day. And he used to be a friend of mine. He is a friend of mine. But he happened to become a caretaker because my doctor said I couldn't stay by myself. And there's no caretakers available around here right now for that amount of time. And so he happened to have some tremendous money troubles and would end up being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, are you willing to take on the chore of taking care of me?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, you know, I can work it out with everybody and landlord and everything, and I'm sure. So now.
Now, what's the question for us then?
Now, the question, I'm sorry, I was going on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's all right. Everybody does, or they tend to when they talk
yeah.
to us. But what is
and
the
I
question?
I say I'm not going to. I want so bad to quit smoking.
Okay.
But my caretaker smokes.
Uh-huh.
And I just, I have almost, one time I hadn't smoked for like a month, and I thought that was just such a miracle. But then, you know, it just caught me, my eyes just caught him lighting up a cigarette. And
yeah.
I said, just give me a little swig of that. And
All right, that don't work. All right, well,
you know?
I've got some help for you right after this, okay?
Oh, gosh, I didn't think you'd be able to offer
Well,
me
I'm
help.
A former smoker, okay. so I'm a former smoker, okay. so I can give you a little bit of help, all right? Okay. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
I wish I was who you think I am, the one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Bill Moss, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're talking with Barbara, who is disabled, and her caretaker is a smoker, and Barbara's a smoker, and she wants to stop. Barbara, when I quit smoking, I didn't just stop smoking. I stopped touching packages of cigarettes, and I made a commitment I would never touch a package of cigarettes again, so that I had a little buffer between me and the smoke. And then I also said I would never put a cigarette to my lips again. So I guess if someone tackled me and put a cigarette down my mouth, I guess I'd smoke it. But anyway, that hasn't happened. So I was just trying to do more than just quit smoking. I quit touching those kinds of things. And then I quit dating people that smoked, because that's how I would start smoking again. I would just be around somebody just like you were around your caretaker. I'm just wondering if you could say to your caretaker, I need one of two things for you. Either join me in stopping smoking, or start to smoke outside, out of my sight, where I don't smell it or see it or experience it. What do you think about that? Asking
him
to change.
Actually, we tried that.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I hate to admit this, but I am so weak. I see him carry that cigarette outside, And I would just follow him to the front door and stand there at the front door and just act like I'm looking around.
But Barbara, Steve said, don't do it. Don't even let me see it. That's what you tell your caretaker.
Yeah, out of sight.
But why don't you recruit him to join the process? It's one of the hardest addictions to break.
And you've proved that you can't do it by yourself. And online, there are many, many support groups online, and there are also support groups by phone that you can get involved with. And there are smoking cessation programs, and you could ask him to help you find something where it's not just you deciding and then white-knuckling it for as long as you can. And I'll tell you, working the steps is another way to help yourself stop smoking. It really does help.
I have asked for that.
Yeah, okay. Bill, what are you thinking about this smoking issue?
Well, I was just thinking about that. When I was a little kid growing up on a ranch, the cowboys taught me to roll those cigarettes and smoke them. So I started smoking when I was 13 or 14 years old. But I tried to quit over and over and over. But what I found, Steve, was that if I said to myself, I got to quit smoking, it's tough. But when I realized I wanted to quit, it was much easier.
Yeah. It's a world of difference. That's a good point.
Right. Also, I hate to bring this up, but there is medication that can help make it easier. If you just, it's impossible for you, there is some medication that will alleviate the symptoms and allow you to get some more than 30 days in there. All right?
I was on Chantix.
Uh-huh.
And it just made me vomit all the time.
Well, that's a whole other addiction right there.
That would keep you from smoking.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. All right. God bless you there. I'm glad you called. Thank you. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a tough one. If you can stop, just do it. You really need to. It's so addictive and so harmful. Let's go to Lynn in Nashville, Tennessee. WENO is the station. Hi, Lynn.
Well, hi.
How is it going?
Well, you're talking about addictions, and I do struggle with that, and I have my whole life. I have battled with my weight, but I know it's not just an addiction just because I like to eat, because everybody likes to eat, and they don't have the problems I do. But I have the ability to lose the weight and get it all off where I'm looking great, and then I'll put it right back on again. And
do you know what triggers you to start putting it back on
again?
Well,
I hate to blame, but, I know it starts back further than just from, just food, because everybody eats. But I'll kind of bullet point stuff, and maybe you can land on something. I am in my 50s now. I'm divorced. I have no kids or anything. And I had one of those childhoods where the dad just kind of didn't have a lot to do with me, really. I was just kind of there. And my mom had her issues. I mean, she wasn't much of a mom either. And she admits that. My dad's gone now, but my mom now lives with me. And she has this way of looking. It's just a little look is all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that, like, she'll look at my stomach or something, or the way I'm wearing something, and there'll be that little look. And it sets me off. And I should be old enough and big enough and wise enough to think, her problem, but it takes me back to being that little girl, that little unloved, stupid, clumsy, all the things I was told when I was little.
Wow.
And it just sends me back, and I feel so angry with her. I just am so angry. I react, and I say things. As a Christian, I don't want to be saying it, and I don't want to be feeling. And it means so much to her for me to look a certain way.
Yeah.
The way I look means something to her. It's a reflection. In fact, she said those words. It reflects on her.
Yeah.
She's always been trim. And it's almost like I head for food and out of retaliation, but it isn't conscious. I mean, I'm not consciously, I'm going to head to the fridge now. I'll fix her.
Right.
Because it fixes me.
Yeah.
And God has blessed me in so many ways
to
give me.
Well, maybe we can give you some help right after this, okay?
All right.
So hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. We have Life Recovery Bibles that can help you. We have a tip sheet and it's the 12 steps and the scriptures that correspond with them. You can find that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to take a break. We'll come back for the final half of New Life Live right after this. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Lynn. With Bill Moss and Dave Stoop, addiction is our focus this Friday. Now, Lynn, have you thought about going to Lose It for Life or getting involved in any of that with our ministry?
I actually did go to that. I actually did a long time ago. I went to that, and it was so helpful, and it was great. And I did. I lost a bunch of weight, and then my mama came to live with me. And,
oh dear.
And she's the
it came back.
I hate to be one of those people that just blamed, you know, it's her fault.
Did you hear what Dave said? Dave said the it came to
back.
Live with you. Yeah. Well, Dave, you had some thoughts about what...
It sounds like you got a lot of hurtful stuff with your mom, and that just stirs all that stuff up, and then food becomes a comfort, you know, because of the hurt. And somehow you've got to deal with that in counseling, or you could start a Lose It for Life group at your church and just kind of stay with it and stay focused on it, because and lead one, you know, and then lead it again, and that but mom's at the core of it. It's like an unconscious rebellion against her look.
Well, I have no relationship with women, and that sounds awful, but I tend to not like women, and maybe that's because of how I feel about my mother.
I would guess so. You got a really good point there.
And so it's hard for me to... I don't have any women friends for the most part. I just don't really... Mm-hmm. That sounds awful.
You are doing such a great job of diagnosing your problem. No women friends.
Wow.
My mom. I've got this anger at my mother. You're a good diagnostician. But what we got to do is get you back in the saddle again in that recovery process. You know, mom, I'm leaving. I'm going to a weight loss group.
She has no problem. I think she thinks that was just wonderful.
Well, do you have a problem with doing something?
I don't want her to think it's
wonderful. Yeah, I know.
Her.
And that's what we're saying here.
No, you say, Mom, I'm going to go deal with a mother. I'm doing a group of women on dealing with mother issues.
I'm going to go try to get over you? Is that
yeah,
what?
Yeah. You can at least think that. I don't know. Yeah. That you
she's
say
one of these people that admit she wasn't a good mama, and she's not a bad person. She admits that. She feels bad about that, and it's just like there it lands, there it stays, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Well, you both are able to acknowledge problems, but the surrender and the willingness part is pretty tough for you. So,
but I'm serious about, you know, talk to your church and say, I want to start a Lose It for Life group for women in our church. And you might find a couple women you like that don't remind you of your mother. And that would be a big part of the healing process.
Sure would. All right. Now, separate and apart from your mom, you know what to do about the food thing. And you know you can't do it alone. I don't think you can recover from your mom's, the anger and the issues from your mom alone either. So you're going to have to get, you're going to have to get some roof people. You know, in the second chapter of Mark, there was a man who couldn't walk, and it was so crowded they couldn't get in to see Jesus. So the guys take him up on the roof and lower him down through a hole.
Dig a hole in the roof.
Now, the man is healed today, or then he was healed, because the men were willing to take him up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said their faith, because of their faith, he healed him. So you need some people. You need roof people around you to take you to the roof and lower you down and help you. And if you're not going to do that, then I don't think there's a lot of hope. Just going to be you and your mother as your main contact of humanity.
Awful.
It's just not going to work.
How do you find roof people?
You find roof people by going to Weight Watchers, to Overeaters Anonymous, to Al-Anon groups, all sorts of places where Celebrate Recovery, start a New Life group, go to New Life groups.
Ever talk to Ryan and start a Lose It for Life group?
Yeah, you could start a Lose It for Life group right there. They could come to your home. You wouldn't have to leave home. Or you could do it at the church.
I don't think I'd want to do it at home because she lives here. With
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me to throw Mama from the roof.
I know you'd like to do that. We feel that from you, that you think that would help, but it really wouldn't be the full answer.
Oh, well, I love your attitude, Lynn.
Yeah.
You're going to make it.
Don't give up.
You got to get those roof women.
Get the women of roof right around there. All right.
I thought you were saying Ruth people.
Ruth people?
From,
no. Talking about the roof.
Ruth had her Naomi.
She did. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Ruth or roof, just do it.
Yeah.
Be a roofer. All right. Let's go to Paul from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hello, Paul.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm sort of like, I'm a recovering alcoholic, sort of like Tony called earlier. I've been completely sober since April. And
great.
My life is, through the grace of God, is great. My marriage
good deal.
Is back on track, where for 6 months it was pretty, really, really bad.
Okay.
The thing is that I'm having a real issue with is my wife, before April, sort of had an emotional affair.
What does that mean, sort of?
Well, I don't know. A lot of phone call, a lot of texting. He was one of my son's coaches. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so every time there was practices and games, you know, there was a lot of communication going on.
That sounds like a real live emotional affair, not just sort of one, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it was, and I don't know if there was an affair, you know, going on.
I mean,
it's really hard to say. There was a lot of damage done over my years of drinking.
Right, okay.
And she got fed up with it, and she didn't know how to handle it.
Okay.
So, and at the same time, he was a recovering alcoholic, and you know, supposedly he was giving her advice, and he lost custody of his children and got divorced. So the way she explained it was she was they were both counseling each other.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So we get the picture. How could we help you?
Okay. Well, I thought this was all over with. Okay. Since for the last 6 months, things were going great, and over the last month, I picked up her phone, and it was a text from this guy, and it didn't say nothing but, you know, hello.
Yeah.
And I sort of blew it off because I didn't want to create a big argument and fight and like I used to. So I finally turned it back on him the following day, and I said, hey, is this guy calling you? Is he texting you? What's going on? I mean, is he harassing you? And she's like, no, I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. She played real naive. And,
right.
And, okay. But she constantly hides her phone. She okay. always has her phone
we,
in her
we
pocket.
We totally get the picture what's going on here. So how could we help you? Ask us a question.
Okay, the question is, do I just leave it alone and continue healing myself, fixing myself?
No, you don't do that, because that would be denying the reality in your life, and you don't want to do that, and that would be maybe even easier. Have you talked with this coach?
No, because I've wanted to, but the counseling that I got from this is that why is she still talking to him?
Well, I think it goes hand in hand. You have an issue to deal with your wife. But he emailed your wife with hello. Now, there's only one reason a person emails hello, and that's it. It's so there wouldn't be any proof of a message that would say, hello, I really care about you, or whatever. It's an invitation to talk, or an invitation to connect in a way that isn't appropriate. Every relationship needs to involve in some way and be approved by the spouse. You're not involved in that relationship, and you don't approve of it, and she needs to get out of it. But it does help, I think, sometimes to go to the person and say, I need you to leave my wife alone. I picked up her phone, and there was an email from you saying, hello, this is my wife that you're communicating with and that you've had this thing with, you could call it, and I'd really like for you to stop. I'd like you to leave my wife alone. And then when he says to you, well, she's the one that always, you say, look, I don't care. I want you to do your part, and I want you to help a fellow man keep his marriage together. Go find somebody else.
Right.
Don't make it highly confrontive to where you guys end up, you know, with fisticuffs with each other.
Even call the guy. You can call him and say those things.
You want to be kind and firm in what you say. And the way Steve said it, those are the words, and I'm just saying make sure that there's a kindness and there's a firmness in what you say.
Take my words and put a better attitude with them, and you'll have it about right.
You can put all kinds of attitudes.
And with your wife, you just say, honey, we need to get some counseling. We're so apart. We're so separated. I know I've caused tremendous damage. Now look at this. Here I am going to the phone. Here's this guy again. Let's go get some help, and you guys get some help together.
Right, because I'm going to counseling, and we made an appointment.
Well, you need some help together.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you so much.
Glad you called. We'll be back for the final segment here on our Focus Friday on addiction.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's 1-800-639-5433, and tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Bill Moss. He is known for his 65 years of drinking and at 85, getting into recovery, and now is helping so many people. And we love you, Bill. We're glad that you've been here with us. And Dr. Dave Stoop, our final caller, is Bob from Lubbock, Texas, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, and you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, back in January, my wife had left me, and it had to deal with me text messaging girls that I shouldn't have in ways that I shouldn't have, and her having a physical affair that only went to kissing at work. And I've been trying to save this. She has brought up the fact of my habit with porn.
Yes.
And I have since changed a bunch, more than I ever thought possible. And a lot of it's due to Every Man's Battle.
Great.
I got it on CD. And I was trying to... We're still separated. The divorce is not final. I'm trying to save it. She says she's so afraid that everything will revert back to what it was as soon as we get back together.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it won't, but I don't know how to assure her as well as myself that it won't.
Well, tell me what you're doing to secure your recovery. Who are you meeting with? How often do you meet with them? Because you can't do this alone. And if you're trying it alone, I'm on your wife's side.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just happen again. So are you doing anything other than reading a book?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so here you ask, how can I show her that I won't relapse? You show her by being involved in a program, in a recovery program. And then she sees your character starts to transform there, and she notices, and then, you know, just, I would be saying to her, I'm going to go to Every Man's Battle, I'm going to get involved in a support group, and I'm going to work these steps, and I hope that you won't do anything, because if you won't do anything, you're going to see my character start to change. And I think we've got a future together. But you just out there by yourself, I wouldn't trust that you're not going to relapse.
Well,
Bill, your thoughts?
I just I don't understand how long he's been in the program.
He hasn't been in the program. He read a book and he stopped. And how long ago did you stop using pornography?
Several months ago. I slipped a few times.
Okay, when's the last time that you slipped?
3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
Maybe
more. So your wife's kind of right that there isn't much security there in your recovery, because you're not really doing anything other than trying harder with more insight.
Mm-hmm. And trying harder always gets you more of the same.
Yeah.
Well, the issue with the help bill is more time, and, I mean, I would love to do it, you know, get into a program. My issue is time with work and...
I thought you wanted your wife back, though. I thought you wanted your wife back.
I do.
I'm hearing is that what you want is you want financial security and job security. That's taking precedence over your desire to get your wife back.
I have something to offer her.
That's the wrong thing.
Well, what she wants is a man of integrity. I bet if you ask her, would you rather me make money and relapse every 3 weeks with pornography, or would you rather me not have money and have integrity, which would it be? Bill, now you
have a thought? Well, Steve, I just wonder if he has God in his life.
Yes, now more than ever.
Now more than ever. How often do you pray about this?
Several times a day.
Every what?
He said several times a day.
Several times a day. And do you get any feeling that you're getting any direction from God?
Absolutely, I do.
Well, what is that direction?
Don't quit. Keep on the right path.
Well, if you're on the right path, Steve, I don't understand quite where we are. If he's praying,
well,
if he's on the right path,
he
just
not,
needs to continue that yeah, right path.
Yeah,
but he's doing it all by himself.
He's doing it by himself. And if we look at Scripture, look at James 5:16, it says, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. There's the only verse you need that says, I am not going to be healed from this, or I'm not going to experience healing on my own, trying to do it by myself. Jesus was a connector of people. And, you know, another verse, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I mean, you can't expect success alone here. And so you ask, what can you do to secure this relationship with your wife? But you've got to have this one word that I don't sense from you is there yet, and that is the word willingness. You've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. Got to be willing to surrender this up. Now, we don't think that God has abandoned our program. And we think that God may be delivering a message to you through us that, hey, if you want the healing that God provides, you need to stop trying so hard and failing every 3 or 4 weeks. You need to get into a true recovery program.
And Bob, it's not something that's going to take gobs of time.
No.
It's consistency that matters, and yeah, getting with other men, even within your church, and just, you know, even starting a life recovery group that deals with sex addiction.
Yeah.
And you get 3 or 4 guys together and you talk about the journey, you know, and you talk about the steps and how God is going to work in your life in that process. That's you can still do all your work. You don't have to go away for the weekend, although that would be, yeah, a great thing to do if you could.
You know, Luke 6:31 says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So you got to ask yourself, if the tables were turned, mm-hmm, if your wife had a sexual addiction problem, what would you want her to do? Would, mm-hmm, you want her to say, I'm going to read my Bible every day and that's it? Or would you want her to be involved with other people who are recovering? So you do for her what you would want her to do for you in the reverse situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just about out of time. Thank you, Bill. I'll remind everybody, Bill has a wonderful book, Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. And we have a tip sheet. It's the 12 steps with Scripture. You can get those by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. And we need your help here. If you are interested in reaching out to others and want to be part of that, we think that giving to us is part of the 12th step of reaching out to other people and getting the word to them and giving them some hope and some healing. So please pray about it, meditate about it, and ask God, is this a ministry that the Lord would have you to support? And if so, we hope that you'll respond to that. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Glad to be with you every time I'm
always
with you.
Good.
And Bill Moss, thanks for coming back and helping us on this Friday to see the reality of what recovery can do in a person's life. And you're a great joy to be with, so thank you very much. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. No matter what the addiction, we'll find the resource for you if you'll just call us. That willingness muscle needs to be developed a little bit. And the only way you can develop it is to work on it. So reach for the phone, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, okay, I'm willing to look at the options that are available to me. We will see you here tomorrow on New Life Live. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.